Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat as I heard him ask we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am here with my co-host, my friend, and my man, Chris Bankerson. How the hell are you tonight, brother?
You know what, damn it, Jeremy, I'm sweaty because of my new nightly routine, which is walking the parking lot to see if there's any Interpol agents looking to scoop me up for being an accomplice to violating the Canadian Emergencies Act. Thanks to you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a hell of a show for you tonight. First of all, tonight, our producer, Kim, is running a little bit late, so she'll be on a little bit later. She will join the conversation here probably a little after 8 o'clock Central Time when we talk about my international incident that I had on Sunday night with a friend of mine over TikTok. Created quite the stir up there in Canada, and I made the mainstream media news inadvertently, for sure. But first tonight, we're going to have on Robert Palm from TruckersFinalMile.org. That organization is a wonderful organization. What they do is help reunite families with truckers that have either passed away out on the road, suffered a very severe illness, or just they were disabled, or any of that. So he's going to join us here shortly, and we're going to go through his whole organization and how it got started and how many people they've helped. I think right now the number is over 50 people, truck drivers, that they've helped just this year alone. It's a spectacular organization. But, yeah, and then after that, yeah, we're going to get right down to the nitty-gritty about how the hell I got wrapped up into some other stuff that happened. And honestly, you'll find out later that the media blew this way out of proportion, and they pushed a narrative that wasn't fair to the guy that was doing the live, nor was it fair to me, just for being on a live. So it's very interesting how the media and the government officials are pushing stuff that just simply aren't what they say it is. So I hope a lot of you get to listen in and hear what the truth really was. Those of you that know me know that I would never desecrate a grave. You know I would never be disrespectful toward a service member, unless, of course, they come at me with their claws out and try to disrespect me. I don't handle disrespect very well. Let's just put it that way. So, I don't know, Chris. I've seemed to get myself into some stuff sometimes, and I don't even try to. What do you think?
I think, yeah, you're just like a magnet for, like, left-wing hate. Oh, I should probably turn my CB down. All right, there we go. No more CB.
So he wanted to join the radio show.
Yeah, right? I could put a shout-out over 19 to see who wants to say something. I'm sure we'd get some really interesting comments.
You should have seen my social media accounts on Sunday night and Monday. I got called every name in the book. And you name it, I got called it. And that was based off of the lies of what the media spread and lies of what government officials up in Canada spread. Just wait until we get to this, because it's going to be interesting. I've got articles. I've got all sorts of evidence to back up what they did or what they said. And it wasn't limited to one person. Hell, the defense minister in Canada was one of them that come after me. He said, yeah, I'll get into that later. I don't want to get into it too deep tonight, or right now. I want to get deep into it tonight, but later. So it's truly disgusting, honestly, what they did. They literally outright lied about my involvement. And honestly, I've really been contemplating on getting an attorney to sue them for defamation. Because that's what they did. That's how bad.
How does that work? How does that work with an international agency? I mean, being that, but you know, you're across national borders. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know how that works either. There's still a media source, so I don't know. Maybe that's why I probably have to talk to an attorney. But you know, either way, it's wrong what they did. It's funny, I was talking to my dad tonight. We went down for supper, and that's kind of what I had to cut you short. I was running down to meet my mom and dad for supper for my birthday, and my dad said, well, why the hell are they coming after you? You don't even have a passport. I said, yeah, it's kind of hard to be in Ottawa when you don't have a passport. He says, where were you Sunday night? I said, I was down in Illinois waiting to deliver my load for Monday morning. So, yeah. Good times, I tell you. There's a lot going on in this world, and I tell you what, crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay,
well, on a side note,
I just...
Oh, do we have our guest?
Go ahead, Chris. No, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, on a side note, I really wish TA would get their shower system together. And I'm sure I'm not the only trucker that has this complaint. Have you ever noticed when you reserve a shower at TA, they always tell you the estimated wait time is 0 minutes, no matter what it really is? Do you use TA Petrol? Well, you know, Pilot Flying J, you know, they seem to be able to pull it together and give you at least a semi-accurate estimated wait time. TA Petrol? Yeah, they'll just tell you, oh, man, estimated wait time, 0 minutes. Yeah, tonight, in actuality, and you only find this out after you reserve it. After I reserve the shower, I find out the actual wait time was like an hour and a half.
Well, that gave you time to look around the store and spend some money.
I see that Robert
is on the line. Let's bring him on right away. I don't want to waste any of his time. So, Robert, I'm going to bring you on the air right now. Robert, you are on the air, and this is Robert from TruckerSpinalMile.org. First of all, sir, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I am looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me, and you're not wasting my time, young man. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate that. I've followed Trucker Spinal Mile for quite some time now. I've always tried to promote them whenever I can. Sometimes I'm not very good at promotion. However, I wanted to let you know, Robert, that for my birthday this year, which was July 26th, just a few days ago, I used your Trucker's Final Mile as my birthday fundraiser. And they set that fundraiser up for the goal of $200. I'm happy to say that we raised $525. So that's a pretty decent chunk of money for you. Yeah, I was pretty proud of that.
Thank you, and happy birthday, man. Those birthday fundraisers, they do some good. The only thing with that is the platform that they are on, you know, it only pays out every 2 weeks, you know, so which is fine. Okay. But, you know, I mean, we still get it. But we appreciate all of those fundraisers on Facebook.
Before we get started here, I want to let you know that we do have there's a 1 or 2 second delay. So sometimes it gets a little confusing. It sounds like somebody's trying to interrupt you, but they're not. So just continue saying what you're saying. If you had more thoughts, and we'll figure it out. If you just kind of got to roll with it, but let's just get right into it, Robert. I want to start from the very beginning to where we're at today. How did this all get started?
Well, it's a long story, sir. How long do we have?
As long as you need.
All right. I began my truck driving career in March 1981. I'm one of those grandfathered into the CDL program. In March of 81, I was in California driving truck, and, let me start over. I started my career in 81 in March. In June of that year, they were laying my father to rest in Niagara Falls, New York, while I was out in California. And things stay with you as you move forward in life, and life events occur. In 93, I lost my brother in a trucking crash out in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. The family had to get all together to go get him and clean out his truck, et cetera. In 97, I was involved in a very serious crash in Columbus, Ohio, and it took me 7 months to get back into the trucking, industry, to get back behind the wheel. And my appendix ruptured in the truck in 2010. In 2012, I rescued a young lady in a tanker that had overturned her truck outside of Buffalo, Oklahoma. And, we talked a little bit. But coming out of that ravine where she had rolled her truck, the Lord spoke to me. And that's my testimony. That's how this organization got started. God said, hey, Robert, there's something else we'd like you to do. And so we spent 2013 putting together a strategic plan, putting together the organization, State of New Mexico corporation. And here we are 8.5 years later, and we have assisted in bringing home 464 truck drivers. And this year alone, we've assisted with 61.
61, that, okay. That's how it, I did know, 61. I just seen that you guys just brought home another driver to Orlando, Florida recently.
Yep.
Another one to Alabama that I've been promoting your Trucker's Final Mile for, because the family actually got a hold of your organization and needed your help, who happened to be one of my TikTok friends.
Right.
And his name was Pissed Off Trucker. So
yep.
You,
yes,
you,
sir. Yes, sir.
If, what is it, how much does it cost to transport somebody, a deceased driver? Let's say they pass away, and you're out of New Mexico. So let's just say they pass away in New Mexico, and they have to get home to Alabama. Let's just say, what is the cost of that?
Okay. Well, each individual request will vary, and there are so many different variables that people just don't realize. First off, depending on where the individual passes away, it could be a truck stop, a rest area, a shipper, a receiver. In a collision on the road, there's a recovery cost. For example, a medical examiner or a funeral home might be on call. They will pick the driver up at the location of loss of life. They then take that driver to the medical examiner. If there is an autopsy performed, generally there is. The autopsy isn't usually, you know, and I don't want to offend anyone here, but it's not like you see on TV. You're not going to have the perfect medical examiner office. It may be that the autopsy repair needs to be done, basically closing up the Y incision and getting the decedent prepared for viewing. That autopsy repair could be $250. All right. If the driver is a organ donor, for example, tissue repair, again, to make the driver presentable, is another $250. There's a charge for a funeral home to pick the decedent up at the medical examiner and bring that person to a local funeral home in the location where the loss of life occurred. That could be $250 a mile, $3 a mile. The preparation for embalming or cremation can take place. The paperwork, the documentation, travel permits, and at any location where loss of life occurred, that is where the death certificate is generated. So all that paperwork needs to be done. There's an item called a travel tray, which a decedent is placed in to be prepared for aircraft travel. That's $150. And then, you know, the flight, with the increased cost of fuel, $850 is an average. And then once that decedent arrives home, you know, the local funeral town then has to go to the airport to recover him or her and bring him to the funeral home for preparation to be laid to rest. All in all, those costs vary. For example, you mentioned Pissed Off Trucker. I will tell you that the cost to bring him home exceeded $4,000.
Wow.
And that's just from, you know, from where he passed away to the front door of the funeral home. That does not include any memorial service or anything else. We do cover the cost of 10 death certificates. But I will tell you, it exceeded over $4,000 just in his particular request.
Right. So when I, you know, when I tell you that we raised $525, that's very helpful. I know it is. But you to the audience, now you're hearing, this is just one person. They have brought home 61 drivers alone this year. Now, not every one of them are $4,000. I know that.
No.
Some of them are
no,
more,
and
some of them are less.
Yeah, it varies.
Yeah. So if you took the total bill for the 61 drivers this year, whom you helped, your organization, if you averaged that out, what would you say that average would be per person?
I would say 2,800.
Okay. So, I mean, I just want to get a realistic number out there. So for our audience to understand that these truck drivers out here, and I know here's a question I've been asked. Why isn't their companies help bringing them home? Well, number one, some of them are owner operators. And
yes,
the question of why isn't their companies getting them home, that's a great question. I don't have the answer for that. Do you have any insight on that, Robert?
Yes, sir. There is no law, no statute, no regulation, and I'll use the famous word mandate. There's no mandate for any company to bring any driver home for any reason, whether it's a loss of life, an emergency at home. There's no reason whatsoever. I know the stories in this industry where trainers will kick a trainee to the curb at a truck stop. There's no requirement for any company to do that. Now, I want to put a footnote on that and let you know that there are some phenomenal companies out there that will go above and beyond. Not only will they help get their driver home in an emergency at home, but you know, they'll, in the case of a loss of life, and I hate to use the word case, but, you know, they'll pay for the transportation home. They'll pay for the funeral itself. And I've seen companies pay for the marker at the end of the day. But there are companies that are in a race to the bottom in this industry, and it shows. And it's on us as drivers to be prepared for these events, so that your family doesn't have to call me and the organization. You know, preparation and knowing what's going on out there in the industry and being aware of these situations, it will prevent the need for the charity to exist. But it's evident with 61 drivers this year that there is a great need for this organization, and we have become a vital resource for the families of this industry.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. When I first heard about you, I don't know, that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. That's kind of when I got into the advocacy end of truck driving, and a lot of the people that I started getting involved with started bringing up Truckers Final Mile, and I thought, that's a fantastic organization. Yeah, I too have created my own organizations, but they're not official 501c3s or anything like that. They're more on a local level to help other people. And when I heard about that, I'm like, I have to promote that, especially when my following grew. And now we have a radio show, and I thought, what better way to promote you is to get you on here and hopefully get some people to, donate, because you have an option of donating on a monthly basis. Am I correct on that?
Yes, sir. If a individual makes a donation through our website, www.truckersfinalmile.org, there is an option once everything's completed to make it a monthly donation.
Right. And you can set that as low as what's the lowest dollar amount that you could set that, $5?
Well, sir, what we tell everyone is, when you do your budgeting, obviously your most important budget item is your tithing, and then all of your bills and all that other stuff. Now, whatever you set aside for your charity donations, you multiply that by 12 so that you got 12 months. And if it's, say, for example, $120, well, you could do $10 a month. And at the end of the year, you have donated $120.
Right. And if we had even 100,000 people do that, even 10,000 people do that, imagine
sure.
What that would help and what that would do for your organization. So
and
yeah. Go ahead.
We have other programs within our strategic plan to assist the families of truck drivers. You know, we assist it should a driver become severely injured. We help reunite the family, you know, get the significant other's hand in theirs, make a plan, get other organizations involved, get the Red Cross involved, maybe get, you know, the mother-in-law moved into the home to assist with the children. And then once that driver is released from medical care, get him or her home to begin their recovery process. That's not only just for that's not only just for, you know, like a severe medical injury, but you know, like a heart attack or a stroke, things of that nature. And then we also have a program that if you know, something happens at home, we don't want a driver behind the wheel of an 80,000-pound vehicle. We want to get them home to deal with, you know, sheltering their family should a fire or tornado or something occur at home, or if a household resident passes away, they need to be home to deal with that and not with, right, you know, worrying about where that delivery is going to be made. We also have a program, right, that should a driver lose his or her career, you know, we'll go to their home and help with the construction of a wheelchair ramp or whatever to assist with mobility. So we have other programs available. It's just difficult to promote those when we do not have a reserve or any funding for those particular programs.
Right. That's why it's so important that if you're listening to this, they are completely nonprofit. They rely on our donations to help make their whole program successful on multiple levels. Robert, are you interested in taking a call or a question from somebody that I see somebody wants to get
sure,
on and ask
yeah.
a question? Okay, one second. Let
absolutely.
Me add them up.
Yeah.
Okay, 8059. I'm going to bring you on the air to ask Robert a question. And you are on the air, 8059, and what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hey, guys, I just come on to say hello.
Oh, it's Joe. It's Mr. Joe Denny.
Hey, Joe, yeah, how are you? Talked to you earlier today, man. How are you, Joe?
Yeah, I talked to both of you today. Hey, I just wanted to tell you we're getting your numbers up on TikTok pretty quick.
Well, I appreciate that. Like I said, I did start a TikTok account. It's TikTok at truckersfinalmile.org. But, you know, like I was telling you, Joe, earlier, it's too much data for my phone because I keep my e-log on my phone, so I've got to get it switched over to my laptop. I will get that done today, and I will become more active on TikTok at truckersfinalmile.org. Beginning next
yeah,
week.
That other group I was telling you about that's on TikTok till 9 o'clock tonight that's raising money for Trucker's Final Mile. I told you Bull Snob Brown Ox, he was nice enough to donate 5 cases and boy, so anyway, but we're all here for you, Robert, and hey, I can't say enough about you and your organization, man. And I just wanted to get on here and tell you how much I love you and appreciate you.
I love you too, Joe. I miss you, man. We'll get together and we'll see each other and we'll do something this year, brother.
Yeah, we'll run into each other. Hey, Jeremy, that goes to you too, brother.
I appreciate it, Joe. You know that. I always do.
All right. Okay, you guys have a good evening. I'm going to get me some fuel and get on up to Kansas City.
All right, get you some high-speed chicken feed. Get on out of there.
Okay, brother. Okay.
Catch you later, Joe. All right, that was
Joe Denny,
everybody.
He's a big supporter of Truckers Final Mile and has been for a long time.
Yeah, and he has a very large, loyal following also.
Yes, he does.
You know, there's a lot of people that have talked down about Joe, about his antics or whatever, but, you know, if you get to know that guy deep down inside, he's a good man. He really, truly is. And I'll defend Joe
He's got a big heart.
He's a lot of people. Yeah,
he has a big heart. You know, Trucker's Final Mile has been doing what we do since May of 2014. And it took a popular individual for us to assist their family, for us to gain some recognition in other areas of the trucking industry. But we've been here. We are a 501c3 charity. It's founded by a veteran. I am the founder. I am a veteran. And we've been out here, and like I said earlier, sir, we've assisted in bringing home 464 drivers since May of 2014. We do it all by charity. I'm talking to you from a truck right now tonight, and I'm sitting at a truck show trying to spread awareness not only for Trucker's Final Mile, but for Doug Flutie Jr. Autism Foundation at the Gear Jammer Truck Show up in Keene, New Hampshire. We're going to be here all weekend, so if you're in the area, stop by and check out Trucker's Final Mile. We've always asked everyone to vet us. You know, we have sponsors that have vetted us, J.B. Hunt, Pilot Flying J, Keenan Advantage Group, and several others that are great organizations that you never hear about us getting their driver home because they take care of it. And then on top of taking care of their own drivers, they sponsor our organization so that we can continue to assist others in the trucking industry. And that's a huge thing for them to do, to, you know, come to us and say, we want to help. So there's many that do help. There's many great companies out there. We encourage everyone to find out what your company's intentions are, because I have a little black book that's full of names of CEOs and CFOs and safety directors and HR managers that I have spoken with, because I speak to every company, every request that we receive. And there are stories I could tell you that you would not believe about how it is to be able to, you know, it's financially terrible for our company to go out and get our freight in our truck as it is, but to get our driver home is really going to jeopardize the company. So we want to refer the family to a charity, and it's unconscionable. But it occurs every day, and this organization has been here going on 9 years now, and it's our mission to help bring our brother and sister trucker home.
That it really is fantastic. You know, you touched about the other things that you guys are involved with as far as getting somebody home that needs to get home for a family emergency. In that case, what does that all entail to get that driver home?
Well, let me give you a couple of examples. We had a request last year that we were able to get a driver home. He was actually, and it's kind of a sad story, actually. He was several hundred miles from home, and his neighbor, you know how we all have this technology now, his neighbor was filming this driver's house burning to the ground. And it's like, you need to get home, sir. Your house is on fire. And so what we were able to do, because the company did not do it, we were able to get him to his home, get his family housed in a hotel. They had received some assistance from the Red Cross, but, you know, their assistance is limited. So we extended that so that his family could be sheltered while they sought other residents. And you know, you know, that's one of the things. You know, we've had drivers that have had heart attacks. And when you're facing a quadruple bypass, you know, and you're staring at a ceiling with those little tiles on the ceiling, you know, you want your loved one's hand in yours. And what we've done is we've flown or we've helped pay the cost to get a loved one to a driver's side, get hand in hand, have a conversation. Well, here, what are we going to do now? I'm not going to have a paycheck. Get her or him back home, implement that plan, and then when that driver's released from care, we can help with transportation. But what we cannot do right now is air ambulance. Those are tens of thousands of dollars, and we just can't do
right.
that.
Not, maybe eventually if your organization gets popular enough and enough funding comes in, I would love to see that. But at this point, I understand that. Chris, my co-host is, do you have anything that you would like to bring into the conversation or ask Robert?
You know what? No, I don't have any questions. I learned some things I didn't know. Wow. You guys are an outstanding organization. Great work. Good
Thank
job
you.
Spotting the
Thank
needs
you.
In this industry and pulling your resources together and filling it. That's really awesome. Really, that's really, really great.
Well, thank you, Chris.
You know,
and I want to point out that we are in a, what is it, $758 billion a year industry. And, you know, a charity has to reach out to all these social media platforms for funding. We need more sponsors. We need more of these companies to get behind the organization, learn about the organization, vet us and see what we have done and come on board to sponsor us. Yeah, you may take care of your drivers, but help us take care of others as well. You know, Truck Driver Appreciation Week's coming up in a couple of weeks. Let's commit a couple of sponsorships. Let's get this done for the I've been out here since March 81, 41 years. You know, let's do this for our family that we all, you know, we're all about that on our websites. We're all making promises. We're all doing this stuff for the betterment of the drivers. But you know what? Let's show it. Let's do it.
No, I agree with you, Robert. We have another caller on here that wants to get on, and let's see what they want to bring to the conversation. 1508, I'm going to add you on to the conversation right now. 1508, you are on the air. What would you like to contribute to the conversation?
Well, I just want to thank Robert for what he does with the Trucker's Final Mile. And it is more than just more than the final mile for the trucker. It's extending that help, if he has a heart attack or, goes down out on the road to get the family members to him. I have a lot of respect for the organization. I donate to it several times a year just because, you never know. It could be me one day that needs that help, we don't wish that upon ourselves. But, one of the things, I want to point out, like Robert said, there's no reason why these big companies and even some of the smaller companies can't, help sponsor and donate to this because, I know that there was one company in particular that, they had a driver that passed away and instead of them flipping the bill, they called Truckers Final Mile to help get this driver home. And, my personal feelings are if you're a trucking company and you have drivers under you and you can't afford to get them drivers home, you probably need to look at a different line of work
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I feel that way. If you're putting people out away from their home, you need to bring them home if something happens. I know there is other companies out there that does take care of their drivers and get them brought back home. But there's a lot of companies that just leave them laying out there, and it's very wrong. But I want to just say that I really like the organization and what you guys do, Robert, and I appreciate it. And you always have my donations for me. So
thank you, sir, and for the kind words, and of course for the support. And I want to reiterate, everyone, that, there are some phenomenal companies out there. Sometimes we get a request on a weekend or a holiday. You cannot get a hold of a decision maker. And then when we get a hold of the company the following Monday or the following Tuesday, it's like, thank you for what you've done up to this point. We've got it covered, and we're also going to send you a check for, you know, several hundred dollars to cover what you've done. And those companies are great, and they are out there. But there are companies, you know, the owner is eating ramen noodles just to make payrolls this week, guys. You all know this. This is a part of this industry that they are in a race to the bottom. And some of those companies have a couple of laps on the others. And you need to realize that prior planning and personal responsibility so that your family does not have to come to a charity, that your family does not have to reach out for any assistance. You should have your game plan, and you should have that game plan funded. Whether you're just beginning the industry and your trainer might kick you to the curb 1,000 miles from home, you should always have something available so that you have a plan to get home, regardless of the circumstances. And yes, there are companies that call this charity directly, and there are some that, you know, we try to contact every company, and there's been several where the emails don't get answered, the phone calls don't get answered, the messages don't get answered. But you know what we do? We get the driver home, we get them taken care of to bring closure to that family and to assure the family that their loved one is coming home without any possible delay. And the way we do that is with your donations. And so thank you, sir, for being there. Thank you for supporting us, and thank you for your contributions.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to ask, Robert?
Nope, I'm good there. I jumped on a little late here on the show. I knew you guys were having Robert on, but I was taking care of some other business. So, but that's all I had for him. I just wanted to let him know. You know, there is drivers out here that's trying to help him, and that's the way we've got to take care of each other.
Much respect, my brother, and I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for adding to the conversation. It's always good to hear from different voices. You have a good night, and keep the shiny side up, my brother.
You too, brother.
All right. So what we do on this show is we like to have audience to call in to interact with our guests and or us. I think that's the most important thing about what we do here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And a lot of people that listen know that we don't just talk about trucking on here. And sometimes it may seem like we go off to far right or left field. But at the end of the day, there are organizations out there that we do care about in the trucking industry. And we do care about the trucking industry deeply because me and Chris are truckers. And Robert, obviously, is a trucker. And it made sense to have Robert on tonight to promote truckersfinalmile.org. And if you go to the website, it's very, very, very easy to donate. And you know what? If you have 1 million people donate $1, there's $1 million. And we live in a country of 340 million people. So that's not out of line to ask. Just donate $1. Donate $5. Donate whatever you can afford. It's such a great organization, and I can't stress that enough. But I see we got my switchboard just blew up. We got a couple more people that want to get on here. Robert, is that okay with you?
Yes, sir. I have, like I said, I'm sitting in the truck right now, so I have time. Let's do this.
Awesome. Okay. My friend Daniel Doris wants to get on and ask you a question or comment and add to the conversation. Daniel, you're on the air. What do you got going on, brother? Maybe that's not Daniel. 1508. No.
No, you just had Daniel.
Yeah,
oh,
I just had
him on. I'm sorry. I lose my mind if it wasn't attached. 8059, I'm sorry, 8059, I'm going to bring you on the air right now. 8059, who do we have on here, and what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, this is Joe again.
Oh, Joe.
I just wondered, Hey, Robert, I just wondered, did you get a touch on your trailer by any chance with him on here?
Yes, sir, he's on the trailer.
I just wondered if you got to tell him about the bricks and the sponsor, the places for the sponsor.
I haven't got that far yet, sir.
Okay, well, that's because I thought that was pretty important. Yeah, I need a big one.
Yeah, we'll
get to that. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
No, you're fine, Joe. Thank you.
Yes.
If I may.
Yep, go ahead.
In response to Joe, you know, I outlined a couple of the programs that we have with helping with the cost of getting. We do not transport any deceased driver. We pay the cost, so the family doesn't have that burden. We help get a driver home that's been severely injured, medically incapacitated. And, you know, we also have a Christmas campaign for the children that lost a parent out on the road away from home. What we do is we gather up gifts during the year, and then at the end of the year we distribute those to those children. Right now, as of today, we have 41 children that will be receiving a Christmas gift from Trucker's Final Mile as a way of letting the family know and the children know that we are still have them in our thoughts and our prayers. We also have, because of COVID, I went out and bought a trailer and I donated the trailer to the charity. I drive for Roadrunner Freight, and I tell you, it's the best job I've ever had. We have the American Heritage Memorial that we developed as a way to raise funds. If you check out the website, www.truckersfinalmile.org, go to the fundraising tab. Under that tab is the American Heritage Memorial tab. Open that. It'll explain everything to you about the memorial. And at the very bottom of that, there's a PDF honoree form, and you can have your loved one's legacy honored on the American Heritage Memorial with a $250 donation. We do have Joe, Denny's son, on one of the bricks.
Awesome.
To honor him. And if you look at it, there's several photos there. You can go to Facebook, American Heritage Memorial, and we occasionally throw out some photos on our regular Facebook page for that. And so it's a way of raising funds as well. And that's why we're at the Gear Jammer Truck Show this weekend up in New Hampshire, and we have that truck and trailer on display. It's fully wrapped. To help bring awareness to Trucker's Final Mile and to honor a fallen truck driver on the memorial.
So you said that's $250 per brick on that truck, correct?
Per brick, yes. There's only right now we have 92 names on the memorial, and so that leaves 808 available spaces.
So
there's 1,000 spaces available.
It would be fair to say if you have a truck driver in your life that has unfortunately passed away, to honor their memory, get a group of your friends together and come up with $250 to put their name on the side of that rolling memorial. I seen that TikTok video the other night where he caught you at the truck stop. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, When Pissed Off Trucker died, I promoted you quite heavily, and another gal got on there. I'm not quite sure who she is, but she was promoting you also. I duetted and stitched some of her videos, and some guy got on there and said, "I smell scam." And
well,
you know, it really irritates me when people, all they have to do is vet you. All they have to do is look you up, look up truckersfinalmile.org, and find out that they are legit and they have helped more people than you could ever imagine. So before you just start yelling scam or conspiracy theory, go and do a little bit of your due diligence and find out that these are legit, or this is a legit organization, and they truly are out here helping people. So
we understand, you know, because there's a big stereotype that is anti-charity organization. You know, I'm not really talking to you from my truck. I'm talking to you from the mansion down here in the Bahamas. but, you know, we get that. I, you know, as the founder and the CEO, you know, Truckers Final Mile, no one here has taken any type of wages. No one's taken any type of salary. There's no bonus program. None of our board members are paid. No one gets a check. No one. We're doing this because this is our family. The trucking industry is our family. The Lord put me on this mission. And, you know, the Lord's got a sense of humor. I'm still driving a truck. I'm not at a mansion in the Bahamas, and I would never be. You're probably talking about Cindy. She's over there at American Truck Syndicate. And I want to tell you something about them real quick. In the history of Truckers Final Mile, you know, there's veterans out there that have served our country and defended our freedoms. And then after their time in service, they've become truck drivers, and they ETS'd out of the military. They came into the trucking industry, and then they passed away out on the road. Truckers Final Mile has helped bring home over 115 deceased military veterans that became truck drivers. The American Truck Syndicate has pledged $25,000 to place the names of those veterans on the American Heritage Memorial. And so far, I mean, we're still working on that project. We have 52 veterans' names that this organization assisted bringing home on the tractor of the American Heritage Memorial. And I will tell you that no other veterans group has stepped forward to do that.
That's amazing. That truly is amazing. You know,
absolutely.
The second half of my radio show is going to be dealing with what accusations of that happened up in Canada. Not to take away from you, but there's one thing I want you to know. I have always honored our veterans. As a matter of fact, I started a Facebook group called Honoring Our Veterans, where I go to the local cemetery and clean around overgrown head markers or headstones and just clean them up a little bit, just to show our respect to their families and to the deceased.
I need to interrupt.
Yes,
Truckers Final Mile, twice per year, we clean around 15,000 headstones at the Niagara Falls Memorial Park Cemetery. In May, we do that for Memorial Day, and then we do it for 9/11 as a day of service to replace a day of terror.
That's phenomenal. Now, would you be okay every time I did one of those markers? And I always take a before and after picture just to show, just to prove to people, this is what you can accomplish with a very little effort and show your respect. Would you be okay if I take Truckers Final Mile and every one of those?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. I mean, because, and you can look through some of our previous Facebook videos that are out there where we get volunteers together and we go up to Niagara Falls Memorial Park Cemetery. It's 45 acres with 15,000 flat surface headstones, and we clean them. we do that. We're weed whacking out there, and we do that twice a year. Yes, sir.
Now I even feel better about promoting it. I mean, not that I didn't feel good enough about promoting it before. Now I feel better about it because you're right in line with what you know, my views and opinions are as far as we got to honor our fallen vets. And you run a hell of an organization, Robert. I've got to tell you that.
Sir, we're just truck drivers, and you know, we're all family. You're my brother, that driver over there. That's my sister over there. All these guys at Truck Show, they're my brothers and sisters. And this is what family does. And
exactly.
You know, I've been I, you know, this industry has been phenomenal to me. You know, my family's never been homeless or hungry in 42 years almost. And this is how I pay back. You know, and the Lord put me on this path, and we're going to do this. You know, and we get that there's the naysayers out there. That's how it is, you know. But have them step up. We've been vetted. We've been vetted by the best. We've been, you know, the vetting process at J.B. Hunt, for example, they don't just nonchalantly write a check to a charity. They get so many requests per year that they vet every single one of them. And the vetting process there took several months just for them to become a sponsor. Same with Pilot Flying J. Pilot Flying J every year. They are so supportive of us and help us do what we do. All the other Roadrunner Freight, I'm with a Roadrunner. And I know they get their drivers home. And not only do they get their drivers home, but they also sponsor the organization. So there's good. There's a lot of good out there. But then you got that poor guy that, you know, he's trying to have 15 trucks in the fleet. And next thing you know, he can't get a driver home. So we fill that gap, and we're there. And we invite everybody, and always have, to vet us, check us out, do your own homework, check with your tax advisor before you make any donation. And, you know, my phone number, my personal cell phone, area code 505-205-5603. And anybody can call me at any time, holidays and weekends included, and ask any question about this organization.
That's phenomenal. You're truly leading by example, Robert. And I, just so you know that, and I mean, you already know that, but how can people find you? List off your social media accounts, your website, and please give a plug to those that are supporting you again, like J.B. Hunt and Flying J Pilot. I think that's very important that those companies get their recognition for doing the right thing. So go ahead and let us know where they can find you all over social media. And, give her hell.
All right, sir. Well, first off, thank you for the opportunity. We really appreciate it. Any way that we could bring awareness to the organization is important to us. Truckers Final Mile is a 501c3 charity. We could be found at www.truckersfinalmile.org. We are on Facebook. Facebook, Truckers Final Mile. We are on Twitter. You got to spell out the dot. It's Final Mile dot D-O-T org on Twitter. We just now set up, and we're still working the setup of our other, I can't even think of the name of that. What is it?
TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok. We just got that set up. So it's going to be TikTok at finalmile.org. All right? And then
I will be doing a video promoting that to help you out on that one, to get your followers up there so you can do some lives.
All right. And some of those that have sponsored the organization, Bennett, A&A Express, Roadrunner Freight, Keenan Advantage Group, American Truck Syndicate, Fleet Advantage Group, and the Kids Around the Corner Foundation, Omnitrax, OIDA, and I'm a life member at OIDA, Fry Miller, J.B. Hunt, Wilbur Ellis, Large Car Magazine, CDLLife.com, Full Bay, the Hazlitt Agency, Blue Beacon Truck Washes, National Transportation Institute, Pilot Flying J, Tread Transportation, Road Pro. Those are just a few, and Fifth Wheel Kings. Those are just some of the groups that are sponsors of our organizations, and those are not, you know, little names. Those people have checked us out and have watched us and watched our performance and have elected to get behind the organization. And then again,
that
there's that guy out there behind the wheel that donates $5 a month. He's more important than any one of those sponsors because he's our family and he's giving back.
That's right. No, I appreciate you coming on, Robert. Seriously, kudos to you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. I know that's a lot of work and a lot of time out of your day, but it also shows what kind of a human being you are. And you have my utmost respect, Robert. If you ever need me to promote anything, you have my cell phone number now. Text me and just say, hey, I really need a promotion for this, or can I get back on your show? I would love to have you back on if you need to get on and promote something, or you need, you know, the donations are, you know, get a little bit stale or something, and we need to do a little bit of a marketing blitz or whatever you want to call it. I'm your guy. So you just let me know. Just shoot me a text, and I'll do whatever I can. But thank you so much for coming on tonight, Robert. I appreciate it very much, friend.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate everyone listening in. And again, you know, check us out yourself before you donate anything. www.truckerspinalmile.org is where we do it. And you get an instant receipt. It is tax deductible. And please check us out and please share our need and share our mission. And we would appreciate it. Thank you, sir, for having us.
All right. Thanks, Robert. You have a great night and be safe out there. All right, brother?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That was Robert from TruckerSpinalMile.org. I was honored to have him on as a guest tonight for the good deeds that he does in the trucking community and beyond. Chris, what's your take about that awesome conversation we just had for the last hour with Robert?
You know, it was very informative. Like I said, I learned a lot of things. I didn't know. I knew kind of what their mission was. I didn't realize that they were also helping get people home for family emergencies, like the one he mentioned where the guy's house burned down and they helped get him home. I also didn't realize there were companies like J.B. Hunt that actually covers the cost of getting their drivers home that are still sponsors of this program for, you know, the other irresponsible companies that don't take care of their drivers. So that was kind of cool to learn. But yeah, I know I'll be promoting this, on my TikTok account and my YouTube page as well. And, you know, we'll see if we can't get a few alcoholics to rally behind the cause. But yeah, great organization, good information. And I've been aware of them for, I guess, about 3 years now. 2019 was the first year I heard of them, and that was because of a driver a lot of us know here in the trucker activist group. That was Jacob Ritt, was the first one that I knew to start talking about them and to try to raise money for them. So, yeah, great organization, and glad we had Robert on here to enlighten our listening audience and hopefully inspire a few people to get behind them and get this out there. You know, one of the things I just mentioned in the chat, you know, the little chat page that we have here on the website, is that a lot of drivers don't even realize this is an issue. I think there's just kind of an assumption that, you know, if you work for somebody and you go out and you get killed on the job, I think there's just kind of an assumption there that they'll get you home. You know, and, you know,
yeah,
it's not something that you really think about. Nobody walks into a job thinking, oh, yeah, this job's going to kill me. But, you know, just a little reminder, you know, trucking is the most dangerous industry to work in the country. Higher fatality rates and injury rates than even law enforcement and firefighting. And, yeah, number one. The number one most dangerous job when you look at the numbers. And you know what? It's something you got to think about, you know. Obviously, you got guys like Pissed Off Trucker out there that made that ultimate sacrifice. You know, something bad went down, And rather than take out, you know, that family of five and in the minivan in front of him, whatever, you know, he ditched his truck. He did what he was supposed to do. He ditched his truck. He made that sacrifice for the people in front of him. And, you know, just to find out that, yeah, there's nobody there to help get him home until Trucker's Final Mile stepped in. So you got to think about that, folks. You know, it's not an automatic thing. Your company is not necessarily going to pick up the tab for getting your remains back to your family. I know a lot of companies out there are responsible and would do that, but nobody thinks to ask, and it's not exactly something they cover in orientation. So, you know, get out there.
You're right.
You know, find out and get behind this organization 100% because they're doing a great
job. That's truckersfinalmile.org. Please go check out their website and go through it all and get familiar with it. They're a very good organization. You want to switch gears and get to the fireworks show, or I think it's time. Let's liven this baby up a little bit, eh?
Yeah, let's talk about this international incident that might spark, you know, war between Canada and the U.S.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read you an article coming straight out of Canada. And this was written by Rachel Gilmore from Global News. And Rachel Gilmore, thank you for spreading misinformation like you guys like to call it. And I don't have one problem calling anybody out that I'm about to call out. I'm very heated about this issue because you guys sent the wolves after me, and they attacked me brutally and viciously without even knowing the truth because of the fake news story that you guys put out there that was strongly encouraged by the Defense Minister of Canada and strongly promoted by numerous MPs in Canada. And you went after two guys that were just trying to do an honorable thing, and you turned it into something. You tried to push your narrative and tried to push your division, and you're sick people. So I'm just going to get on with it, okay? This is the article. Here's the headline. Defense Minister disturbed after desecration, in quotation marks, of tomb of the unknown soldier. Oh yeah, baby, we're gonna get crazy. And you know why? Because they tagged my Twitter in the picture. So here's what it reads. Defense Minister Anita Anand says she's disturbed by images circulating online in which a man can be seen draping the tomb of the unknown soldier with a flag. The flag, a blend of both the Canadian and American flags, which is not true, can be seen spread on top of the monument in downtown Ottawa in screen grabs circulated on Twitter that appeared to be from a since-deleted TikTok video. First of all, I didn't delete the TikTok video. I made it private because they set the hounds on me, and they sent the hounds on the guy that was live. And they tried to ruin his life, and they were threatening him and threatening me. And honestly, I'm going to be really brutally honest right now. You can come at me all you want. I do not bow down to the woke mob. I will never bow down to the woke mob. And if you think you're going to somehow change my mind to follow you or your reckless behavior by threatening me or my family, you're barking up the wrong fucking tree, pal. So the rest of the article reads, the tomb of the unknown soldier, which contains remains of an unidentified Canadian soldier killed at, I might be pronouncing this wrong, Vimy Ridge during the First World War, commemorates all of the Canadian war dead whose bodies were never recovered. The monument is hallowed space in the nation's capital and marks the site of Ottawa's annual Remembrance Day events. She says, I am disturbed by yesterday's events at the tomb of the unknown soldier, Anand wrote in a tweet on Monday. She's disturbed by yesterday's events. There wasn't events. There was a live TikTok video. And by the way, I'm not going to mention the TikToker that did this live video because he's taken enough assault from you you leftist terrorists. The right to protest is something those honored at the tomb sacrificed their lives for. However, the desecration of this memorial is unacceptable and shameful. That's what she wrote. The screenshots, which were done, the screenshots which were done by me of the desecration don't show what is being protested because there was no protest. They made it that way. The media and this despicable human being, Anita Anand. However, the Twitter user who shared the images under the handle The Disrespected claimed to be part of a TikTok live stream and said his friend was honoring the memorial, which he was, and I was honored to be a part of it and still am. The tweet has since been deleted. Again, I deleted all social media involving that because of the absolute brutal attacks and threats against our lives. This is what they created, Anita Anand. You in the media, you sent your hounds after us, and they threatened our lives over what you said was the truth, which was not the truth. Because I'm going to get to the truth after I read this article. Veterans Affairs Minister Lawrence McCauley also chastised those involved, tweeting that it was disappointing to see continued disrespectful and dishonorable behavior at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And you know what, Lawrence McCauley, you can go fuck off too. This sacred site deserves our utmost respect, honor, and integrity, which he was trying to do until you guys switched it to your narrative. You are dirty bastards. That's exactly what you are. This wasn't the first time the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier has been desecrated in recent months. Now, remember the term desecrated, because I'm going to get to a very, very good point here in a few seconds. The site has become a magnet in recent months for those protesting COVID-19 restrictions and the Liberal government. Now, notice how they bring in COVID-19 and the Liberal government. During the early days of the so-called Freedom Convoy protests. So now they bring in the Freedom Convoy to what happened on Sunday, when none of this pertained to what was going on Sunday. Individuals could be seen urinating against National War Memorial, and a woman danced on top of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So they make sure to bring this in to add to the hype, to make sure that you're even more angered at somebody that they say desecrated the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. The woman was later identified but was not criminally charged. That was the woman that danced on top of the grave. It's unclear whether the men seen desecrating the monument on Sunday were affiliated with the convoy protest. So then why bring it up, right? The memorial was more recently the scene of a large rally involving James Topp, an Army reservist charged with speaking against vaccine requirements while in uniform before leading a four-month march from Vancouver to the site. The Legion calls for tighter security. Royal Canadian Legion spokeswoman Nujma Bond said Sunday's incident highlights the need for more security at the National War Memorial and tomb, which the Legion first requested during the Freedom Convoy. And here's another bootlicker. It's unfortunately seems to be happening with more regularity, Bond said. Yuri Cormier, executive director of the Conference of Defense Associations Institute, a think tank on defense issues, echoed Bond's assessment of the growing focus on the tomb for political messaging. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is not a place for slogans and civil disobedience. It's a place for prayer, gratitude, and introspection, he said. And that's what he was trying to do, was prayer and a moment of silence, you dirty bastards. Setting an American flag, now listen to this, setting an American flag on a Canadian cenotaph was a profoundly insulting thing for a tourist to do. It showed a great lack of judgment. We've seen a lot of disrespect at the cenotaph from the Freedom Convoy and its supporters. Now, just so you all know, my audience, they all know that I am a very big supporter of the Freedom Convoy in Canada. I did my own soul roll up to Pembina, North Dakota, which gained quite a few people. I was friends with Tamara Leach, who just got released on bail, by the way. I was friends with her on Facebook before I got banned the first time. I was in contact with a lot of those people up in Canada. and I still stand behind them 1,000%. The fact that they're bringing them into this is absolutely despicable. So let me just finish here. Cormier added, such an incident would not have been tolerated at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in the United States, which is guarded around the clock by active duty military members at Arlington National Cemetery. Security for the Canadian Memorial Tomb is provided by the Ottawa Police Service, with Canadian soldiers on hand as part of the annual sentry program, only ceremonial in nature. Now, I really don't need to read the rest of this. I think you got the gist of what they said I did. I did? Okay. Let me give you the truth, okay? And then me and Chris, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna talk about it. It was a friend of mine that was on TikTok, okay? He's from Canada. He's from Ottawa. I was in Illinois Sunday night in my truck, stopped for the night, waiting to unload the next morning, and I was scrolling through TikTok, and I come across my friend's live video. I joined his live video on TikTok. And I was conversing with him, said, hey, brother, how you doing? Glad to see you. Where you at? What you doing? And he said, Mr. America Trucker, I am glad that you're here. Would you join my live? I said, absolutely, I will. I have no reason not to. I like this guy. He's a good guy. He's a kind-hearted guy. He's always got a smile on his face. He's a good, good person. So I joined his live video, and he pulled out a folded American flag and a folded Canadian flag, and he says, I want to kind of have my own private ceremony in honor of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I had no prior knowledge of this live video. I did not know what he was planning on doing, but if, at any time, had I would have felt like he was being disrespectful, I would have been the first person to say something and get off that live video. But I stayed on the live video because his demeanor and everybody that I talked to that was on that live video say the same thing. He was being respectful. He was trying to honor the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier with unity involving the United States and Canada, because after all, we are allies. We fought in many of the same wars, pretty much all of them. So what he was trying to do was being honorable. And so here's how it went down. He draped the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier with a Canadian flag, a separate one. It wasn't a mesh of two or of one. It was two separate flags. Again, it wasn't my flag. He had that flag. And I'm just clarifying that. Not that it matters. So he draped the tomb with a Canadian flag. And then he went ahead and draped the tomb with the American flag afterwards. And right away, somebody said, why are you putting the American flag over the top of the Canadian flag? And my thought was, if you would have done it the other way around, you would have said, why are you putting the American flag over the top of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier before the Canadian flag? Now, you can just never make anybody happy, because it's always a thing. So he did this respectfully. He swept around the tomb before he even did this, on the top of the tomb, around the tomb. And even before that happened, two teenage girls stepped up onto the tomb, and he respectfully and calmly said, no, you guys can't step up there. And they both stepped down immediately, and he explained to them why they couldn't do that or why they shouldn't do that. And so back to the story, he drapes the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier with these flags while I'm on the live. Like, again, I'm in Illinois, he's in Ottawa. He proceeds to get behind it with his camera playing, his live video playing, and he kneels down and he says a prayer. After the prayer, we do a moment of silence, which I was involved with all of it. Prayer, moment of silence, all of that, because, again, I was on the live. I screenshotted some of the stuff that he was doing, which at the time, if I would have known it would have caused this kind of controversy, I would have never done that. But the only reason I did is because I felt that he was being respectful. Now, what I want to say to you is he had no idea that that was considered desecration of a grave. I had no idea. I thought that was being honorable. And so I didn't see an issue with what he was doing. So I read you the article, what the defense minister come out and said, And mind you, this defense minister and the prime minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, have done nothing but tear down the Freedom Convoy movement from the very beginning. And then what they did, just because it was showing some kind of patriotic unity between the United States and Canada, when this TikToker who's from Canada, whom I'm friends with, did this, they inserted the Freedom Convoy into this and tried to tear down what he was trying to do there by calling it desecration of the tomb of the unknown soldier. Now, let me tell you what desecration means to me. A desecration of a statue, of a tomb of the unknown soldier, or whatever else you want to call it, is spray painting it, putting a message of hate or vandalizing that object. He did no such thing. As a matter of fact, he put the Canadian flag down first after he swept the monument off and around the monument. He did never go on top of the monument. He laid the American flag down on top of the Canadian flag after he laid the Canadian flag down to show unity between the two countries and the two allies, and to honor the tomb of the unknown soldier that more than likely fought next to American soldiers. And they paid the ultimate sacrifice. That's what they call desecration, when you laid a Canadian and an American flag together. That's desecration to the Liberal government in Canada. You know what I find to be desecration? What BLM did during their movements and their riots. I've seen what they did to the George Washington statue, to the World War II Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, all of that down in Washington, D.C. They completely went in there and sprayed it all over with spray paint. But that's okay, because it fits their narrative, right? You know what else? Yeah, this is the best part. Chrystia Freeland actually walked down in the middle of a parade where women and children and families were watching a parade with a strap on, strapped around her waist, honoring what? Gay Pride Month, with a fucking strap on around her waist in front of families. But they're fucking concerned about an American flag and a Canadian flag together for unity. They hate patriots. They hate Canada, and they hate America, and they hate freedom. Chris, what say you?
Oh, boy. Well, you really opened one up here. Okay. So first off, we know the media likes to change the definition of words. Mainly because they know that they can throw a word out and people automatically accept the common definition of that word. But they've changed it to fit something else to fit their narrative. Like you said, with desecration. Desecrating a monument would involve somehow defacing it, vandalizing it, urinating on it like they had happened several years ago. So those are instances of desecrating. So when they say that someone desecrated the tomb, and we all know that we live in a time when people only read headlines. They don't read articles. They read headlines and automatically have a knee-jerk reaction. So they pick that word on purpose to make everybody hate this guy that supports the Freedom Convoy. Because if you can make the Freedom Convoy look bad, how do you upset a bunch of patriotic Canadians? Well, you say that the Freedom Convoy was involved in desecrating the soldier. When without reading the article, they just assume you guys were up there dancing on it or urinating on it or spray painting it in some way. And then, of course, they call it a protest. It was not a protest. It was a ceremony. Again, they called it a protest because, well, they want to divide. Right now, they need to divide the conservatives. And so that's like two words they inserted into this story, protest and desecrating. either of those words fit what was happening. But they throw them in there. They create an idea in the minds of people so that conservatives will turn against the Freedom Convoy, right? And that's the game they play. Now, when you compare that to they like to compare the how would you feel if you know someone did that at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C.? Well, first off, let me just say this. Good fucking luck. Because we take our Tomb of the Unknown Soldier seriously enough that it's guarded 24/7. It's also too tall for someone to just climb up on and dance or climb up on and, you know, drape a flag over or anything like that. And I'll put it this way. With all of the defacing that went on in Washington, D.C. during the 2020 riots, the one monument that didn't get touched was the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C. Have a friend of mine, a guy I used to work with, that actually was one of the tomb guards for the Tomb of the Unknown, the 3rd Infantry Old Guard, and got all kinds of insight on how they run things over there. And if you've never been there, it's a very serious environment. But again, 24/7 guard, inclement weather and everything. In the event of a hurricane, they pulled the guards away from the tomb, but were surveilling it and had people ready to react in the event that someone decided to go and try to do something stupid to it in the middle of a hurricane, which obviously was highly unlikely and didn't happen. Outside of just absolute extreme weather, yes, that tomb is guarded 24/7. And so then in Canada, and I'm not trying to insult Canada or anything, but if you've got this monument there and you're not guarding it constantly, and I'm not just talking about you and this other content creator, you have to expect that some people are going to go up and do something, whether it is out of malicious intent or whether it's out of ignorance. And that's what I'm going to say on the part of the guy who did this. He's a Canadian citizen. Obviously, he was not aware of the etiquette. I think there's enough people that know him and understand his intentions and his personality to say, okay, this guy had no malicious intent. He honestly thought he was doing an honorable thing by going up and having this little unity ceremony and doing a prayer and sweeping around it. But the fact that in this one little snapshot of time, there were people that stepped up on top of it that he had to ask to get down. So I'm sure that little snapshot of time was not the only incident of people doing those types of activities when the guards aren't there. So anyway, without getting into all that, honorable. He was doing something respectful. Go ahead.
I have a question. My question is, if they're so worried about somebody draping a few patriotic flags over the top of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and let me first say, if that is truly offensive, they wanted me to apologize. And I said, I'm not going to apologize. Well, then you're a piece of shit. They called me every name in the book. And I said, why should I apologize for something I didn't do? I'm not gonna bow down to you woke mob. I'm not gonna do it. But here's my question: if they're so worried about that, then why wouldn't they invest $100 into some chain and 4 frickin' posts to put up around that monument so nobody can get within 3 feet of it, and put up some signs: please do not touch the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, because Now, listen, you got four sides to that monument, correct? And you have chain connected to poles going around that monument with a sign on each side that says, please do not touch the monument. Wouldn't that, like, stop a lot of what I've seen happen? Just on that live video, just those two teenage girls stepping on it, they didn't know that you're not supposed to do that. You know, I wasn't mad at them when they did that. I was actually honored that my friend said, hey, girls, you can't be up on there. Like, everything about that live video, he was respectful. Everything about it. And the defense minister and the liberal media up in Canada seeing an opportunity to create controversy and another means of dividing not only Canadian people but American people. My Twitter blew up, and when I say blew up, it blew up. That video hit 90,000 views within a half a day. It was literally insane. Now, I do want to, okay, so here's what Anita Anand, she is the defense minister in Canada. And Anita, you're a piece of shit, by the way. Here's what some of the responses were. By a lady named EcoFashion, over it. When did national flags become so offensive? I just want to read a few of them. I'm not going to get too deep into this because I want to continue our conversation. A TikTok or a Twitter user by the name of Jude. There was no desecration. What I see is a symbol of unity between two countries who have fought together side by side. But go ahead, make something out of nothing to inflame people. Sharon Tracy, I am disturbed that you remain silent with the true desecration of the vandalism and destruction of Christian churches, not a flag draped over a monument saying homage to fallen soldiers. Victoria L59, more liberal anger that Canadians aren't bowing to liberals. Sorry, we have the power, the freedom. And I'll read one.
Go ahead.
Well, let me read one more. What I saw was a veteran, Canadian or American, with both flags laying on the memorial and him with his head bowed in prayer. This was not a desecration. It was a demonstration of respect and honor. Carry on, my fellow vets. The government doesn't own these memorials. The people do. That's just a few of them. And you can go to Twitter and go to Anita Anand's Twitter account. Well, she's got the big old blue check mark because she's somebody fucking important. She's a coward. That's what she is. And you liberal media, you're dirty, dirty people. And Anita, again, you're a piece of shit. Go ahead, Chris. I got what I wanted to say out.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna get to this point as well. To all the liberals here and there, stop pretending that you actually give a shit about the proper way to honor veterans. Yes, there's a small percentage of liberals that do. I acknowledge them. I have one in my own family who's a veteran, and unfortunately, you know, he's falling for this whole liberal line, and he is absolutely all about honoring veterans. But I'm talking about the majority of leftists out there. You hate patriots. You hate veterans. You hate people that actually go out and do the jobs that you sit around in coffee shops and speculate about how they should do them better, okay? I'm just going to forget parental guidance suggested. This is rated R. To all you liberals, and I'm talking about you weaselly, cowardly, spineless sons of bitches out there, freedom-hating, patriot-hating, just absolutely, positively swallowing this authoritarianism hook, line, and sinker that don't give a flying fuck about veterans on a day-to-day basis, that are using this as some sort of way to propagate hate against conservatives. shut the fuck up. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. I don't think I can stress that enough. Shut the fuck up. We all see through your game. You don't give a flying monkey's ass about the fact that someone did something to these vets. If you were actually upset about it, you'd be more upset about the girls who were stepping on the tomb than a guy who was trying to carry out a ceremony honoring it. Whether he broke the etiquette or not, you'd be more upset about that, but you don't. All you see is an opportunity to bash opponents because you hate freedom and you hate free people. And, yeah, that's the end of that. You're a bunch of spineless weasels that are literally cheering on the destruction of all freedom worldwide because you are what Stalin called useful idiots. You think these authoritarians actually give a flying fuck about the things you believe in. They are only using you to get power. And as soon as they have that power, they will turn on you and kick you out at the next curb faster than a $2 whore. Anyway, rant over.
Hey, we needed that. America needed that. Canada needed that. And Anita Anand, you needed that. Listen, I'm telling you what. You people that attacked me on Twitter, and by the way, they called me a coward when I blocked them. And I said, listen, I don't need to sit here and have you disrespect me and send me death threats and threaten to beat the shit out of me next time you see me, which you're never going to see me, by the way, because you're a dipshit that's probably in mommy's basement. I don't care. But they called me a coward because I blocked them. And then they called me a coward because I deleted the Twitter video. You know what they did to this poor guy? They got the liberal media and Anita Anand up in Canada, they got people so worked up over this, over a headline, and I guarantee you 80% of those liberals didn't even read the rest of the story. Or if they did, they just added to their fake, whatever you want to call it, their
fake outrage.
Yeah, fake outrage, that's what they call it, yeah. I don't even know where the hell I was going with that. I was so pissed off. I'm just irritated that they're so dishonest that they do that. But for those of you that insulted me and called me a coward for blocking them or deleting the video, what they did to this guy that was the live streamer when his intentions were obviously pure, and what they did to me just for being on the live video, based off of what you trust Anita Anand because she's the defense minister, you should be removing your dumb ass from office because she obviously doesn't have the Canadian best interests in mind. Meanwhile, you got Chrystia Freeland, like I said, walking down Main Street with a strap-on dildo strapped onto her. But that's okay because she's showing support to the LGBTQ community, right? No. That's not okay. That's promoting, that's sexualizing and promoting and trying to indoctrinate your children into whatever the hell they're pushing at this point. Between America and Canada, I'm disturbed what I see. Now, we've had this discussion. I'm not against the LGBTQ community or plus community, whatever you want to call it. As a matter of fact, I'm not even against people that are transgender. What I am against is pushing your beliefs and trying to indoctrinate children as young as 5 years old in kindergarten with the whole transgender issue and all those. Children at the age of five, hell, all the way up to high school, through senior high school, their brains are still developing. They're very impressionable. And what you're doing to them by pushing this crazy agenda is you're creating a whole generation of people that are confused emotionally, mentally, and sexually. which is going to create a shitload more problems for our world. Now, I happen to have people in my life that are both supporters of this show and beyond that, that I spend time with on a regular basis that are same-sex couples that are married and have children. And we don't talk about that because we don't need to, because we are friends. And in the other case, it's part of our family. And they're not out there, you know, flying a rainbow flag around everywhere they go. They're just trying to exist and be happy and love each other. And that's okay if two people want to do that. And I know there's other people that will come on and say, well, the Bible says, you know what the Bible also says? Do not judge, for you too shall be judged. So don't even give me the Bible quotes. But it says it a hell of a lot more time in the Bible about that than it does about being gay. So don't even start with that. I do support that the community. I truly do. I don't support walking down in the middle of broad daylight in a parade wearing a strap-on dildo. I think that is absolutely fucked up. That is one of the most... If you would have done that 10, 15 years ago, Chris, if I would do that right now, walk down the street with a strap-on dildo, other than on a gay pride, what do you think the media would do to me? I mean, you see the example of what the media just did now.
Oh, I can only imagine. But I just want to throw this out there for all the straight people in the world. You know, teaching kindergartners the mechanics of straight sex is not a part of our agenda either. We don't teach our 5-year-olds how to have sex. Why do you feel the need? And I'm not talking about everyone within, and they keep adding letters, but it's the LGBTQIA plus community. That's where we're up to now. I think the I stands for intersectional, and I forget what the A stands for.
But I'm still at the LGBTQ plus.
Okay. Why do the militant, and because I'm going to acknowledge this, there's a separation there. Just like the media tries to portray that everyone who's black is of one mindset, which is absolutely not true. And if you've spent any time in a black community at all, you would be able to call the media out on your bullshit. And the fact that you can't is the real sign of your white privilege, because you've obviously never set foot in a black community. The same goes for the LGBT community. If you think everyone in the LGBT community is of this radical mindset, well, then, once again, you've obviously never actually truly spent some time around anyone in that community, because you would know that a lot of them are definitely not on board with the radicalization that's going on the left. And I'm sorry, but they're taking a small subset of a particular group of people, and they're trying to promote it as mainstream. And that's not true. Most reasonable people absolutely, positively do not want to be teaching 5-year-olds the mechanics of any kind of sex, or even talk about gender mutilation or going to the doctor to get their bodies changed before they're even, you know, really and truly old enough to even start guide what they want to be when they grow up in respect to everything. So... yeah, anyway, that's what I got to say about that.
But, hey, Chris, that's okay, what she did, what Chrystia Freeland did, walk down the street with a strap-on dildo on, dancing and prancing around. But what this gentleman did up in Ottawa on Sunday night, trying to honor the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier with the Canadian flag going on first, and then the American flag, and then kneeling and praying, and then having a moment of silence, that's what you need to be outraged about. Because the media said so, and so did Anita, or whatever the hell her name is, the dirtbag up there in Canada. And Justin Trudeau, you're a dirtbag too. You're a tyrant. You all are part of the World Economic Forum. We all know you are. We're not stupid. And you can keep on denying, and your little followers and your little sheeple, they'll continue to believe everything that comes out of your mouth and continue to be outraged over everything you tell them to be outraged because they cannot think for themselves. They're a bunch of fucking sheep and followers. I said what I said, and I'm not sorry. And I'm not sorry for being honored to be a part of my Canadian friend's private ceremony where he tried to honor the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I will not apologize, and neither should he. That's my official stance. So if you're listening and you're one of those that attack me, fuck off. I don't care what your thoughts or your feelings are. I don't care. I am honored to be a part of that. And if you're listening to my Canuck friend, keep being you. There's no reason for you to feel ashamed or embarrassed or anything for what you try to do. If it is officially wrong to put that flag over the top of that, it was an honest mistake. You're a human being. You didn't know. I didn't know. And you did not deserve to be crucified and ridiculed the way you did for trying to do the right thing. So I am on your side. I will not back down from these woke mobs. They can kiss my ass. I will not. I will not back down from them. I have been attacked for the last 2 years since I've got involved when I kind of moved away from the trucking advocacy and got more involved with the freedom movement and here in the United States and supporting the ones up in Canada. And I've gained a lot of friends whom I've never met up in Canada because of that. And I'm not going to bow down to you people. I just not. You want to see people that have taken it. Tamara Leach, dude, they arrested her for no fucking reason this last time, held her in jail. A judge finally granted her bail. You think the government's done messing with her? You got another thing coming. She put her neck out there to start that freedom convoy up in Canada, and they are so pissed off at her up in Canada that they are going to make the rest of her life living hell until they get rid of that leadership. I shouldn't say leadership. The cowards that are putting themselves in place in Canada, thanks to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Until they get rid of those puppets, Tamara Leach, Pat King, and anybody else involved with the Freedom Convoy in any way are going to have a lot of trials and tribulations. But I want to tell each and every one of my supporters and followers from Canada and my friends in Canada, don't back down. This is God's fight now. And you know what? You continue to do what you're doing and do it respectfully and peacefully, just like you always have, just like my friend was doing on Sunday night, and we got attacked for it, even though I wasn't even there, and I don't care. I'll take it again. I'll do it again. I'll go on one of your lives again, and I'll promote you, and I'll support you. Even I know what your intentions were, brother. Don't you back down to these woke mob. Don't do it. It just irritates me to know, Chris, that the more I sat here all week and thought about it, the more articles I read, the more I just got more irritated and more pissed off, and the more it's like these people up in Canada. One guy said to me, "I'm a vet, and this is the most extremely disrespectful thing I've ever seen." I said, "Do you even know what the truth is?" "Yeah, the truth is you're a piece of shit." And right then I just blocked him. I'm like, dude, you didn't even ask, well, what is the truth then? No, you just called me a piece of shit. So each and every one of you that I talked to, yeah, I was in a headline. Yeah, you wrote a headline. You read a headline. Yeah. So, but each and every one of you that criticized my friend, and again, I'm not going to say his name because he's taken enough beating for doing nothing wrong. He made an honest mistake. That's it. That is it. And you people are sick for what you're doing to him and what you're doing to me over a headline. You all, seriously, you need to look in the mirror, and you need to start praying to God to help you become a better person, because what you're doing is sick. And Anita Anand, you're a dirtbag. Justin Trudeau, you're a dirtbag. The Legion up there, you're a dirtbag too. You should have stood up against them and said, you know, what he was trying to do was honoring. Use that actual, here's the thing. Let me just stop for a second. I got worked up. Okay. Here's the thing. The Legion up there, they could have took this opportunity to educate flag etiquette to the whole, the population, the masses, and said, okay, this guy went to honor the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and in flag etiquette, if that is so true, it says do not drape the flag or any object over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If they could use this for positivity, but they turned it and chose to use it for negativity. Shame on you, all of you. You are dirt
bags. You know the liberals like to call that a teachable moment, where instead of just going after someone, you take the opportunity to instruct someone on what is correct and acceptable. Of course, I know it blows your mind that they're a bunch of hypocrites. Instead of, you know, practicing what they preach and using that as a teachable moment, they went straight for lies, blow it up into something that it's not, and then let's all get out our pitchforks and our torches and let's go straight to crucifixion. Just like the hateful people that they are, that teach tolerance and diversity and non-hate. But yeah, well, they're the most hateful people out there for what I've been seeing. On a side note, can I bring something up?
Absolutely.
2 months since Jeremy and I both received death threats on the same night at the same time from Antifa, and I would just like to remind you guys that we're still alive. Obviously you're not good at executing your wonderful plan. I'm at the TA in Florence, Kentucky, east end of the parking lot in the reserve section. Come at me, bro.
Yeah. It's funny you brought that up, because on Twitter on Sunday night, I've gotten more death threats in the last 6 months from being involved with the People's Convoy and now being on a live video on TikTok and then having the Canadian media come at me like I was actually there. Like I had dinner with my dad tonight, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, and my mom and dad, and my dad's like, "Well, how the hell are you in Canada? You don't even have a passport." I said, "Yeah, Dad, I wasn't in Canada." He's like, "Well, why would they say that?" Because that's what our media is doing to you folks now. It's called propaganda, gaslighting. Let's keep them divided, because if they figure out that we're lying to them, guess what's going to happen? They're all going to turn on us. And then what are we going to do? God, pay attention, people. I'm living proof of what the media will do to a person. And do you think Antifa doesn't have inside connections with the FBI here in the United States? I guarantee you that the FBI and the Antifa, some of the Antifa members are corroborating with what they do. I'm not an idiot.
I find it hard to believe that Antifa, without you broadcasting your location, was able to track you down to the hotel you were staying at and know what car you were driving to take a picture of it and send it to you. So I absolutely, positively believe there was some law enforcement involved there. I'm sorry,
absolutely.
Whatever they want to call themselves. Not law enforcement. We don't really have a whole lot of law enforcement anymore. We have henchmen. But anyway, yeah. So, I'm sorry. The Antifa crowd,
they're fucking domestic terrorists, dude. That's what they are.
They are domestic terrorists, but they're also just fucking stupid. I don't think they have enough brain cells collectively to rub together to figure out how to do a surveillance operation to figure out where you are. I mean, that would take some extreme hacker stuff to be able to pinpoint your exact location like they did. But not at all impossible for a law enforcement agency. So, yeah, I honestly do believe there's some federal henchmen from the government that are aiding and abetting Antifa, which, I mean, we knew that because, I mean, they had the whole bail fund and everything.
But Chris, I, before we get off the radio show tonight, I do have to mention one thing because this is huge. Did you know that gas prices have fallen for the last 6 months more than they have in the last decade? Did you know that? That's according to what Joe Biden tweeted out.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when they skyrocket higher than they've ever skyrocketed in the last fucking century.
Hey, Joe Biden or whoever his handlers are, you guys, you've got to be the dumbest MFers I've ever seen. You tweet out that tweet. That was your tweet, that the gas prices have dropped the most they ever have consistently in 6 months than they have for a decade. And anybody that cheers that on, you're just as fucking stupid as they are. And I don't care what you think of me. Oh, my God, he's mean. You know what? Yeah, I used to be the nice guy. I used to be, well, be kind to everybody because you don't know what they're going through in a day. But you know what? I don't care what you're going through today. I'll be honest with you. You know what you're going through today? Stupidity.
I have to fact check you and the White House here because I know, thanks to a bunch of fact checkers, that the president has absolutely, positively no control over gas prices whatsoever.
That's what they said.
Right.
But all of a sudden, they're going to take credit for the falling gas prices.
So we can thank capitalism and the market forces for the fuel prices dropping again. Because, again, according to every damn fucking tab that came across every frickin' social media article about the soaring gas prices, the president of the United States, Potatoes Biden himself, has absolutely positively no influence over the gas prices whatsoever. So, he can't take credit. So, I mean, it's one way or the other.
Chris, just because not only did the gas prices fall at a historically fast rate, but the president of the United States of America, the same one that stood up on a podium and said, if you get your vaccinations for COVID-19, you're safe and you have done your part to protect your loved ones and you don't have to worry about getting COVID-19. Test positive for COVID-19. And who else? Dr. Fauci, how many times? Twice? Three times? Justin Trudeau, how many times has he got it? These are all these talking heads, these mouthpieces that have that forced you or convinced you to go get your vaccinations, every one of them, and they all have tested positive for COVID-19, every one of them. But what I find very ironic or very weird, maybe it is the word, have you heard of any major government official passing away from COVID-19? If this was so prevalent and this was so scary and so crazy, do you not think that at least one of the top leaders of the world would have passed away? Boris Johnson, he got COVID-19. Donald Trump, he got COVID-19. Okay, let me hear it.
For you, who died of COVID-19? And
in Washington.
That was it wasn't in Washington. It was a state one. Let's see. Oh man, I just had his name on the top of my head here. It was in Illinois. He was a senator. I'm sorry, actually, he would have been in Washington. Senator Sandoval. He actually contracted COVID-19. And passed away from it. Ironically enough, it was in the middle of an investigation into a corruption probe, not just of the Department of Transportation, but also within the state of Illinois with Mike Madigan and everybody. And he was one of the players involved in all that. And right in the middle of that investigation, he got COVID-19 and died from it.
No, that's just coincidence. That's just a coincidence.
I'm sure it was.
Just kind of like all the people that were associated with the Clintons that have mysteriously committed suicide with two bullet holes in the back of their head and no gun at the scene. That's coincidence. How many people do you know, Chris? I know I'm flip-flopping subjects like a mofo tonight, but that's okay. I feel like having fun. How many people do you know people, upwards of 60, 70, 80, 90 people that have committed suicide? And listen, before we continue with that, I'm not making fun of suicide. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm trying to make a point. But how many people do you know that many people that have committed suicide that were associated with them at one time? How many?
Absolutely none. I think we've all probably experienced, you know, one or two or maybe even half a dozen people within social circles, family, people that we've known. But, yeah, 90? I mean, and just coincidentally, all of them were in a position of knowledge over some corruption probe. Kind of questionable.
We got to stop it, Chris. Our conspiracy theory hats are coming out. I think I just dented my tinfoil on my hat. I see Kim is on here. Would you like to weigh in on what happened up there in Ottawa with our friend? And since you are from Canada, I want to hear what your thoughts are. And you know this gentleman, so I think that even helps a little bit even more. So go ahead and share your thoughts, Kim.
Well, I'm sorry I missed most of the program tonight. Better late than never, but and I'm sure I'll listen to it later. Do we still have a radio show? I'm just kidding. did you guys behave? No, I'm just kidding. You know, the events that happened, and I just watched a TikTok from a creator that I actually quite enjoy, who had all the facts wrong. And this is one of my pet peeves. It's like, if you are going to take the time to make a video about something, even though you're standing up for the person, said person that we're talking about, get your goddamn facts straight. And it's just like, I just sat there and I thought, oh my God. Like, so the events that happened, I mean, it was very unfortunate. Yes, I know this fellow. I know him, or this person, whatever. I know this person from TikTok. Never met him. But I will tell you, he doesn't have a malicious bone in his body. There's no way that he set out to start a shitstorm. He's not that kind of person. Am I? Perhaps. But him? No. I do believe it was a judgment error. And I'm sure now he looks back and goes, ooh, you know, maybe that wasn't the best place of choice to do such a thing like that. But for the shitstorm to go on the way it has, and some of the videos I have seen over the last few days, I just sit there and I think, you better hope no one goes digging into your goddamn life and see where you fucked up and where you forgiven. The problem up here is people are angry. People are angry on both sides. The left is very angry. They're always fucking angry. God, I'd be angry if I were them. But there's no more humanity. There's no more forgiveness. There's no more, let's just take a look at the big picture here and use a little bit of goddamn common sense. No one's using that sponge between their ears anymore. It's annoying. So,
yeah.
You got brought in on it. I mean, even the report, you know, that you and I had spoken, and, you know, people are like, he should be deported. And I'm like, he's never even been in Canada, you twit. Like, again, it's all built on all this misinformation. And I think, you know, everyone's just looking for an excuse to fight. Everyone is looking for a reason to be mad, and because they're so frustrated with everything. But, you know, to the right and everyone in between would just stop for one bloody minute and realize that we all want the same goal, in a sense. And if we all united, and this goes worldwide, if everyone would just freaking stop and just calm the hell down, everyone needs to chill. Like, they really do. So, I don't know. It saddens me. It saddens me how you were handled. It saddens me that people are just very quick to jump on bandwagons. And I don't trust those people because they're flaky. They're you know, oh, it's Jeremy this week. Oh, it's Chris next week. Oh, it's Kim this week, you know. So it's just, it's annoying.
In their small defense, though, Kim, I did kind of egg them on Monday when they were accusing me of doing what I did, knowing that they only read a headline. I kind of said some stuff that to egg them on, like dump a little gas on the fire, you know what I'm saying?
I think I would have done the same because, you know, there comes a point, and we've all faced it, where you just go, oh, you want to play? Well, let me come down to the stupid level, and I'll play in the sandbox with you for a while. And I think I would have done the same because it's just, it gets to the point, it's just so frustrating right now in this world. I have a very close circle of people that, you know, I talk to, and I just don't branch out from that because I just can't handle it.
Yeah, I've learned a while back, more so when I got involved with the People's Convoy. That's when I really started opening my eyes to what the media was doing, what the leftists were doing, and I really started, like, I just seen it. They jump on the bandwagon of being offended. Based off of a headline or based off of what a politician or what their trusted media source says they should be offended about. And that's what happened on Sunday night. And that Anita, how do you pronounce her name? Is it Anand?
How do I what? Sorry?
The defense minister in Canada. How do you pronounce her name? Anita Anand? Or is it Anita Anand?
I'm honestly not even sure. I think it's a nun. That's how I've always pronounced it.
Well, I changed her name for her tonight because of her tweet. It's Anita Twit, and Justin Trudeau is a dipshit and a tyrant. And oh, I just love to do this because I know it just burns their ass. That's why I'm so well-known in Canada with your Canadian officials, because I don't hold back and I don't care. That's my opinion. I still live in a free country, I think. I'm pretty close to a free country anyway. I can say whatever I want, as long as it's not defamatory, you know, I'm not defaming them. She said what she said without knowing the truth. Anita did, Miss Defense Minister Anita Twit. And you're a dipshit, Anita. And I'll say it again, one more time, Anita Twit the dipshit from Canada. A lot of your officials up there, Klaus Schwab has even admitted that he owns at least 40% of your parliament. I would be willing to guess that he probably owns 40% of ours also. So that's the whole gist of things, everybody, that this is what's going on in your media. They're lying to you. And they're twisting and turning and pushing their narrative. And you have public officials like Chrystia Freeland walking down the street with strap-ons to push another agenda. And you're getting hit from all sides. You're getting bombarded from all sides. You're being brainwashed from all sides. You're being fed propaganda from all sides. We're trying to warn you. We're trying to get the truth out.
The worst is they're causing such a huge divide amongst citizens everywhere. And they're causing, you know, whether it's, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and her daughter has to go back to university. they've asked her not to because they know that we probably have lockdowns coming because something's going to come. There's no way they've, you know, lifted everything. It's, they suspended it up here. And so they said, you know, why don't you just take a year off and let's just wait and see how everything goes. And so there you've got a division within the family because now she's mad at her parents. So now, you know, and then all of a sudden their neighbor is, oh, well, you know, I love Justin Trudeau or I love whoever, Pierre Poilievre or whoever. Well, then there's another division. There is so much bloody division going on here. And I know it is in the States, too. It just saddens me. Like, God, if we can't come together, what hope do we have?
No, you're exactly right. No, it's just it's gotten really ridiculous, you know. And when I'm on my Twitter feed on Sunday night and Monday, when I started getting attacked the way I did, knowing that I knew the truth, knowing that I know that I didn't do nothing wrong, knowing that I knew that he didn't do anything wrong, that he was trying to be honorable, I took the whole insulting liberals to a whole another level. I plead guilty to that offense. I knew that's exactly who was attacking me. There was a few that said, I'm not a liberal and you offended me. Well, then I know that you just read a headline and you're a dipshit. So I don't care what your opinion is. And I don't care what any of their opinions are. They called me every name in the book. It was very uncalled for without knowing the truth. And, you know, you and I, Chris, had a discussion the other day about maybe me doing a video explaining it live on Twitter, which I did, and as soon as I got done doing it, I realized it was a huge mistake. Not calling you guys wrong for encouraging me to do that, but the first comment right away is, you're just trying to cover up. You're just like a politician. I'm like, see, no matter what I say at this point, they don't care to hear the truth. They've already made up their mind that we desecrated the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier based off of a headline and an article done and based off their defense minister gaslighting the Canadian people. And again, Anita Anand, you are a piece of shit. And any of you media sources that went out and attacked me and this other gentleman, I seen his name. I didn't see his name anywhere in any of the articles that I read. I'm sure there are some out there. I was the one that got the brunt of the attack. I do know that he got attacked also, which is why he had to shut down his Twitter and TikTok accounts or whatever. I did not shut down my accounts because I just block people when they're going to be assholes and they don't want to see the truth or hear the truth. You just get blocked and you're gone. Bye. See ya. Adios. Have a good day. Fuck off. So that's where we're at. And, oh, by the way, my mom just texted me and she said, do not tell people where you're at. Well, I'm sorry, Mom, but I have to tell everybody where I'm at because I don't give a shit. I am at your mom's house. So go to your mom's house. You'll find me in the basement. I'm waiting for your mom. If you have any issues with me, come and get me. I'm at your mom's house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, yes, I do occasionally drop a little gas on the fire.
Just a little. No, it's just, when did we become a society where no one's allowed to have their own opinion anymore? No one's allowed to... The critical thinking, my God, I don't know how some of these people get out of bed in the morning and tie their own bloody shoes. Like, how do you get dressed? Like, my God, like, enough. And people, I don't know, sometimes I think, you know.
Can we officially change the name from common sense to something else? Because common sense isn't as common as they say it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to get your take on it, Kim. It's nice to have another voice in. And by the way, everybody, this is Kim. She's from Canada. She's our producer. I'm not going to release her last name, simply for the fact she lives in Canada, and their government's a little bit out of control right now. And I don't want to bring any heat on her, unneeded heat. So she's, we'll just call her Kim.
My last name is Smith. 007.
Kim Smith. Actually, her 007. Real last name. Kim, I hope you don't mind. Her real last name is Kim at your mom's house. So.
No, it's actually, no, it's Kim. No, at your dad's house. Hello.
Kim Dickens. There you go. Chris,
yeah.
Before we get off this lively, lively radio show that we did tonight, would you like to add anything?
I'm still here waiting. I'm getting tired of waiting for this death sentence. So bring it on, Antifa. I'm waiting for you.
He's at 4216 Winchester Avenue. What city is that in Indiana again?
I'm in Henderson, Kentucky.
Oh, that one. Yeah. And he's also at your mom's house. All three of us at your mom's house at the same time. Isn't that awesome? So, in closing, let me just say, first of all, I know that my antics and my language sometimes gets maybe a little bit offensive, but I'm not here to coddle your feelings. Just number one. Number two, I really want to thank Trucker's Final Mile, Robert, for coming on our radio show at the first hour. And we sure appreciate you. And just because I have a potty mouth and my antics get a little crazy sometimes, please don't let that stop you from donating to a wonderful organization, because they truly are helping people and helping families reunite with their loved ones in the event of death, a serious injury, or any event going on at home. And it truly is an amazing organization. I have zero part in it. My hands are anywhere near there. So if you hate me, you can hate me. That's fine. But please don't hate them. Secondly, Anita Anand, Anita Twit, you're a piece of shit. Justin Trudeau, you're a piece of shit. Joe Biden administration, you're a piece of shit. The Legion up in Canada, yeah, you're a piece of shit too, because you jumped on the bandwagon without knowing the truth. My Canuck friend up there, hold your head high, brother. You're trying to do the right thing. You are being honorable. I appreciate you, and I stand behind you 1,000%. And every one of you that attacked me and my friend up in Canada on Sunday night and Monday and continue to attack us, go fuck yourself. Have a good day. God bless each and every one of you. And we'll see you next week, and we got one hell of a show lined up next Thursday. Wait until you hear this shit. Wait, just wait, and I promise you, you're not going to want to miss this one either. We're getting better and better. We added on Ken as our producer. We also added on Christy as our independent researcher. So we are making some moves. We're going big time. We're going to go from 50 listeners this week to 60 next week. That's how big of moves we're making. Hey, everybody. Kim, thank you for everything tonight. Christy, thank you for doing what you do, and I'm glad to have you on board on the team. And Chris, I appreciate you, brother. As always, we had another wonderful show, some great content, and I hope you all have the best week that you possibly can. And even those of you that attack me, I'll pray that maybe you can find the truth and find it in your hearts and in your hearts and your minds to quit listening to the media and research the truth for yourself. Because you'll find out that things aren't as bad as what they tell you they are. They're worse. So have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday.